Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that many people will retreat from, but it's one I think that we need to face. What is that subject? It is the loss of a loved one. And we have a guest today, Carol Brody Fleet. She has put together a book called Widows Wear Stilettos. Now, this is a very down-to-earth, very practical guide, both in that level as well as emotionally, for a young widow. But I will have to say, after reviewing the material, I don't think there's actually any age that this would apply to. I want to welcome Carol Brody Fleet to the show. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Donna. It is great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's absolutely a pleasure. Now, you worked on this book with Sid Harriet. And I want to tell my audience a little bit about both of you. You are a motivational speaker, and you have actually worked as a coach for those individuals that have lost a loved one, have gone through tragedies of different types. Now, you were widowed at a young age of 40. You had a little girl. You have been on all kinds of programs throughout the country talking about how to deal with grief. And in 2008, you were the recipient of Embrace Life Award from the State Farm Insurance Company. You, Sid Harriet, has two doctorates, one in interpersonal and family communications from the University of Oregon, and the second doctorate is in clinical psychology with an emphasis in behavioral science from the University of Denver. Now, he's been a licensed psychotherapist since 1983. He's done a lot of writing. And he conducts workshops and seminars. And the two of you got together on this. Now, I know there's a compatibility factor here, but how did you manage to link up to have someone work with you on a book with this kind of background? That's quite exceptional. What happened?
Well, and thank you for that. The thing is, Donna, that I'm writing from a place of personal experience. And that is, of course, incredibly valuable, and it is what the audience that I'm working with wants to hear. However, when you start tippy-toeing into the psyche and the emotional side of things, you really need somebody there to make sure that what you're saying is on point, that you are, because I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychotherapist, and it's really important to have somebody there with the material saying, yes, you're right, yes, this is wise advice, oh, maybe we want to tweak that a little bit. And that's where Dr. Harriet is absolutely invaluable. He's phenomenal. And he's far more analytical than I could ever be, and for that I am so grateful.
Well, I think when we can be honest that you're coming from this very personal side. And
correct.
When he has the feedback from the professional side of having dealt with various situations in his many years of experience, I think that makes for a good combination.
I agree with you, yes. Absolutely, because it also is reinforcement to these women who think that they're going crazy, there's something wrong with them, and it really frees them up to understand that, you know what, it's okay to seek help from whatever avenue you need to seek that help, whether it's from a fellow widow like myself, whether it's from a licensed mental health professional like Dr. Harriet, it's okay. It's not a sign of weakness to say, I need help with this.
Oh, I agree. I think that so often, not so much today as it has been, but it's still there. When people do have a loss, they feel like they're supposed to have this stiff upper lip and just endure it. And when you can reach out and ask for help, and you can acknowledge the loneliness, the pain, all kinds of things, that is part of the healing process. It's when you keep everything pent up inside yourself and you can't communicate about it. You just get churned up into chopped liver.
That's right. And you hit on a very important point, Donna, is not only do we have this whole stiff upper lip mentality, but now maybe you're surrounded by a lot of people who are telling telling you, well, you know, Donna, it's been 2 months or it's been a year. You really should be over it by now.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you don't feel like you're over it? Well, then there must be something wrong with you. And what my job is to let these women know, no, there's nothing wrong with you. And here's what we need to do for you to take back ownership of your own healing timeline. So that's a very important point that you just hit on.
Now, one thing that I want to mention is that your husband died from Lou Gehrig's disease.
Correct.
So not only did you have the death to deal with, but also all of the work and all of the involvement and the emotional turmoil that goes on prior to someone's passing.
That's
and sometimes
right.
People don't want to say this, but it's true, and I've heard this. Since I'm a counselor, I deal with a lot of people. And they'll say, I can't tell anybody this, but I'm so relieved they're gone because this person maybe has suffered a lot. And that's part of this. Depending on what the circumstances are, you know, whether it has been, you know, someone being killed overseas in the
mm-hmm.
war, or whether you're dealing with a life-threatening illness, I can't tell you how many women I've known and men that have had a spouse or a loved one that has been ill for a year, 2 years. And then they've gone through all of that emotional difficulty. And then it is finally finished, and then they just don't know what to do. They think, gee, I should feel guilty. Maybe there's something I could have done, should have done, would have done. They go through all of that. And then there are things that are totally out of your control, just like your husband's disease was. And all of this comes into the picture, and it's almost like it's dirty linen. You're not supposed to talk about it. But it's important, and that's what's nice about your book.
Thank you.
Because you say, know one thing, you are not alone in this. And you mention in some of your statistics that there are some 55,000 married persons that lose their spouse every single year, and usually
mm-hmm.
the surviving spouses are women, because typically the males are older than the wives
right.
that they marry. And there were 38,000 women that were widowed as opposed to 17,000 men. 11,000 out of 38,000 widowed women were under the age of 65. And there's a number of widows from the military. And it's just, you know, you have all of these people. So I think your book, again, is a very valuable tool. Now, let's talk about something here. And I loved your example of a can of soda.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that is so appropriate here. Here we go. Tell us about this example of soda that you use.
You know what, Donna? That is an example that I started using actually many, many years ago when my daughter was very young, and she tended to keep things bottled up inside. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a can of soda, take a can of your favorite soda, and just start shaking it up. Just start shaking and shaking the can of soda. Now, on the outside, nothing's wrong with the can. Everything looks fine. But on the inside, there's a storm brewing. And when you pop the top of that can, because at some point it's got to pop, you are going to have one great big mess on your hands. You're going to have an explosion. It's the same thing when you either try and avoid grief or try and keep it bottled up inside for whatever reason, to put on a front for your kids, to put on a front for your work colleagues, you are a can of soda, and there is a great big mess brewing inside, and at some point, that mess is going to explode all over the place. And so that's what we are trying to alleviate, is we're just trying to be a can of soda that just sits there calmly. So when we open the top of the can, all we have is great tasting soda. We don't have an explosion. That's an example I've been using for almost 20 years.
Well, I think it's a very good one. I think everybody knows if you shake a bottle or shake a can of soda,
right.
what's going to happen. That's the last thing you want to do because it ends up going everywhere.
Absolutely.
Totally uncontrollable when you snap that top. So I think that that's a very, very good description. Now, one of the topics you cover is how people honestly do not know how to respond to the news of someone's death.
Right.
And I think that this is so good to talk about this because it is very appropriate. And sometimes these words that people will say, like, well, it was his first time, it's God's will, everything happens for a reason, at least he or she didn't suffer, you're never given more than you can handle, you were just meant to be alone. People are not saying these things to be unkind, but it might push your button where you
absolutely
become like that soda can.
Absolutely, and that's why when I was writing that chapter, I put a humorous spin on it, because the problem is, I get between 800 and 1,000 letters a week through the website. So I have basically seen it all. And the problem is these women are being told these things, and these are the more common things. And what they're hearing in their fog and what's being said are two entirely different things. And relationships are being destroyed because the widow takes great offense at being told something like, well, Donna, you're young, you're pretty, you'll find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going on a manhunt a half hour after my husband's funeral. And sadly, that's when most of these women are hearing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to put a humorous spin on things and then say, okay, let's come back to the table and figure out how we're going to cope with this. The problem is, Donna, and you know this as a counselor, we have lost the fine art of simply saying, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with just saying, I'm so sorry for your loss, Donna. I am here when you're ready to talk about it.
See, I think that that's very nice, but it's an intimidating thing to people because, again, in our culture, in the Western culture, it's just, there's just so many different images that are out there that people think that they're supposed to do, and they just feel so uncomfortable.
Exactly. And inevitably, instead of just simply saying, I'm sorry, or, you know, I can't imagine the pain that you're in right now, or doing something proactive, which is really the best possible suggestion, they say something that, like you said, they mean well, they're trying, but oh my gosh. You know, for example, probably the one thing that I heard more than anything, because my husband was ill for 2 years, was, well, at least you had time to prepare, or it wasn't unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm hearing is, you knew it was coming, so you don't get to mourn. You don't get to grieve. Well, we all know there's a long distance between concept and reality. And up until the moment that Mike passed away, his death was a concept. That feeling of impending doom was impending. Then it arrived, and now all of a sudden it was like we had no idea.
Yeah, here it is.
Right.
This is no longer a drill.
Exactly.
This is the real thing. Yes,
so you have to give people permission to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I heard the most. But, yeah, I wanted to take these most common things, put a humorous spin on it, and then see how we can heal and move forward from it. My Hall of Famer, my personal favorite, was, and I was told this at my husband's funeral, was, well, you'll forget all about him when you get a new boyfriend. And
that person was brain dead.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I'm so happy to tell you, I just recently did become engaged to an absolutely wonderful man. I am so God blessed to have him in my life. However, I have not forgotten my husband. I have no intention of forgetting my husband. I am also blessed to be able to perpetuate his legacy of service and of love to the community by doing what I do. Finding love again is something that we're all entitled to do because we are here on this earth. It is not a way or a catalyst for me to forget my late husband or the life that I built with him and
mm-hmm.
loved very much.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, you talk about the timeline, and I know both from professional experience and personal experience, it varies with people. There's no rule with this. And one of the things that I find irritating is when people will say to someone, well, you should be over it after a year, or, you know, just do this, that, or the other.
Right.
And I had a very dear friend. It took her 11 years to get over a death of a member of her family because it was such an extraordinary trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a catalyst of circumstances, one right after the other, and this dear soul didn't really have very many people to talk with, and it took her, and a lot of people may not believe this, 11 years, and she was finally able to rest, you might say, mentally and emotionally. But she had to do it her own way.
Exactly. And the problem is when somebody says, well, you know, Donna, you ought to be over it because it's been 2 years already. I mean, come on. What they're saying is, Donna, I'm not comfortable with your grief.
Mm-hmm.
I am not comfortable being around you. So if you could just hurry up and, you know, get over this like you're getting over root canal, that would make things easier for me. And it's here a question of helping women find their inner voice, find their inner strength, and take control of their healing journey and their healing timeline, and also reminding them that who else is the widow in this this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
No one. You mm-hmm. are the widow. So no one else's process of grief, that as it relates to the dearly departed, is going to be the same as yours. But they're going to compare how they feel to you. Most of us might go to a funeral. We're sad for a day or two, but then we go back to our lives. It doesn't work that way when you are intimately involved and it's a spousal loss. And this goes for anybody. You were right at the top of the show. There is no age delineation here when
right.
it comes to
and
grief.
Actually gender either, because I've known both sides of the coin, male and female, and their responses. And that, you know, when you're hurt, you're hurt.
Yeah.
And with some people, maybe they didn't have a good relationship, so it doesn't. But for those that have had special relationships, there is an adjustment. There's, again, it's just one of those things that you go through. Now, you made some suggestions that I think are so important, and it's something that, as a counselor, I've told many, many people, don't make any financial decisions after the death of a spouse. Just don't do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. You do only that which is going to generate income immediately to your household, claiming life insurance policy, for example.
Right.
Anything that has to do with the immediate generation of income to the family. Outside of that, everything else can wait. You don't make anything that's going to have long-term financial ramifications, especially. You don't, and even more so now in this day and age that we're in, and because it's such a tenuous, uncertain time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do anything radical about your career. Don't do anything to radically change your appearance. It's tempting, I know, but you need to let the emotional dust settle just a little bit. So, yeah, that's very important, is make absolutely no weighty decisions that could carry a long-term consequence.
I think that's
that
so
time.
Very, very important, because so many, many times people will come back afterwards and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I just wish I hadn't done that.
Because you're not in your right mind, and it's okay not to be in your right mind. The mind is an absolutely phenomenal thing. It's a fog does move in. I talk about the fog a lot. It's a cushion
mm-hmm.
against the shock. And instead of fighting the fog, let yourself be cushioned and buoyed by the fog. Let yourself be in that place of mourning and of numbness. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of women will tell me it's been 6 months now or it's been a year now, and I feel worse than when the moment my husband died. And what I always ask them is, you know, have you ever had dental work and they numb you up really good? And, you know, you feel kind of icky when you leave the dentist's office, but 6 hours later you feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is, it's just like the anesthetic, the fog, which is an anesthetic also, starts to lift, and now you're beginning to really feel the loss more acutely. You know, we lost Mike 6 days before Christmas and right in the middle of Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we don't count that as the first holidays without him. We count the first holidays without him as the year following.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't tell you about Christmas the year that Mike died, if you paid me to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember it. So, but a year later, the fog has lifted quite a bit, and now you're really feeling the loss more acutely. So that's why you need to wait on anything that carries a financial weight or anything that could have a long-term impact on you. You need to get kind of away from that fog a little bit.
Yes. Now, one of the sections in your book, you talk about the things that must be done, and that is contacting the Social Security office,
mm-hmm.
the Veterans Administration if your spouse was in the armed forces, the Human Resources Department of wherever your spouse works, because you might have life insurance, et cetera, that you just mentioned, medical insurance that needs to be taken care of. This brings to mind that you should have these points of information readily available so that that you could get to them. They should be in a drawer or someplace that's easy for you to access. Because, again, your brain fog, you mentioned, is so important. Your bank, the mortgager, if you have an insurance policy on your home, if you need to change things over, you bring out the fact your credit card companies, the Department of Motor Vehicles, you need to contact an accountant. And then also, you bring up a fact that was very interesting to me. It's death certificates. That
right.
It differs from state to state, as well as county to county. And your funeral director will be able to give you the information wherever you might reside. But you ordered 12 certificates so that anyone that needed an original, quote-unquote, they would have one. And that saved you a lot of problems as
exactly.
far as getting stuff out and having to go back and order more. So, and there's a cost for this, but it's very low.
It's nominal.
Yeah, it's very, very nominal. And the you bring out the fact that credit card companies will be satisfied with a photocopy of a death certificate. So all of these things, these are very, very practical things, but how often are you going to think about it? I mean,
you don't. you don't. And, again, so much of that was born of my own experience of, yes, we had, 2 years that we knew that this moment was coming. But, Donna, I'll be darned if I didn't have to go on a scavenger hunt
mm-hmm.
for things that I was really, from the beginning. It was like I did not know that this moment in time was coming, because you think if I talk about it, I'm accelerating things.
Mm-hmm.
If I talk about it, I'm wishing death in my house. If I don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. Well, you know what? You can stick your head in the sand all you want to, but when you stick your head in the sand, think about which end is pointing the other way. So what I've done here is let people know, based on my own experience, what you're going to need, how the different entities are going to ask you for information, where you can go for help right away, as well as checklists to keep you organized. Because, again, you got that fog. You can't keep all this stuff in your head. And you will find, I know that the governmental entities, especially right now, are getting a very bad rap, that credit card companies aren't too far behind. But, in dealing with all of them through that, they were nothing but helpful, compassionate. This is what we're going to do to help you. They were all phenomenal to work with. So they're not the two-headed monster. They do want to help you out. Credit card companies really need very little to affect changes on your account. It's the governmental entities that are going to ask for the original certificates or the original certified copies. A photocopy will not suffice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I was trying to do, was make this process, which can be long and arduous, make it go so much faster. If you have 12 death certificates, you're going to be able to get that income that you need so badly a lot faster than if you send the wrong thing and they have to send it back and you have to backtrack your steps. And the other thing that I'm so glad you pointed out, Donna, and please, listeners, if you take nothing else away, hear my heart. Please don't make your loved ones go on a scavenger hunt. Nobody likes to talk about not being here, but it's a fact. And if you really love your family, please have everything in one place. Tell two people where it is. And in that one place, have account numbers, passwords, telephone numbers. List every single insurance policy that you have, everything that you can think of. If you have a leased car, tell them where that car belongs. It's so important. Please make things easiest for the people that love you and that you love, because that time is going to come.
I agree. Now, throughout the book, Widows Wear Stilettos, there are some humorous stories, and I just absolutely love the one about you. Well, where you say, definitely not on the calendar, it's chapter 10, the first, part
uh-huh.
two, and you needed some medical attention, and you went into your physician, you didn't know which one you were going to get.
Right.
And you were not concerned about your appearance. You looked rather dog-eared, should I say that?
That would be
nice.
Kind.
That would be kind. And you go in, and you're sitting in the examining room, and in walks a doctor that looks like something out of a Hollywood movie, and you went, be still my heart.
Exactly.
And you found that you were alive, and you said all of a sudden you realized, oh, my goodness, I look terrible. Now, this is a doctor. He really isn't going to care one way or the other.
He does not care.
I mean, he's just been looking at everybody's rear end and whatever.
Right.
Today. That's the last thing. He just knows you're patient number 502. Okay,
there you go.
Get up on the table. Time to check you out. That's all it is. But you're just looking at him, and all of a sudden, everything's kicking in. It's saying you're alive, you're well, you're a woman, and you're going, ye God, what
exactly.
did I?
Exactly.
Gee.
Exactly. I felt guilty because my husband had only been gone for a short time, and what widow? I mean, I loved my late husband, and yet I'm looking at, you know, I call him Dr. Gorgeous, and I all of a sudden, I'm acutely aware of the fact that I'm a girl, and I have not been aware of this fact since my husband was diagnosed 2.5 years prior. And I was absolutely taken aback and aghast at feeling that way. And I was on the phone to my rabbi before I even cleared the pavement in the parking lot, saying, what is the matter with me? And he said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with you. And this is a very exciting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, pardon me? And he said, you are taking your first step back into life.
Right.
You have recognized that you are still here, you're alive, you're breathing. And he also pointed out something else that it's important for long-term caregivers to understand. Your mourning process has started long before your spouse ever left this world.
You right.
didn't think about that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the mourning begins. So he says, you haven't just been in mourning for a few months. You've been in mourning for years. And this is a vital first step back into life. But yes, I was for the first time aware of my appearance or lack thereof. I was, in combination with this tremendous guilt that I was still supposed to be in mourning and wearing a shroud and wearing black. And I did not, I was so unnerved by that experience and did not realize that I'd taken my first step back.
Well, I think you have a wonderful daughter because one day she looked at you and she said, Mother, you're going out in that?
That was
Please,
another first step.
Mother.
That, yeah, exactly. That was another first step. It was because I didn't care. I mean, the only thing that I cared about in those previous 2 years was getting through the day and keeping my husband comfortable and warm and safe and secure as we progressed through this journey of our lives. I didn't care about what I looked like because, you know, and then, of course, on the inside, you're thinking, well, who's around to care? You know, he's not here, so why should I care? And Kendall, my daughter, had enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the ripe old age of 11, she just basically said, enough is enough, and you are not going out dressed like that.
I just love 11-year-olds. They're so pragmatic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Carol, your book, Widows Wear Stilettos, I know some people may think, oh, this is too heavy a subject, why are you talking about it? Because it is a reality.
Right.
We are not going to stay on this planet forever. And if we have a choice and we can, you know, live to be 135, that's wonderful, but life isn't fair. And sometimes things happen in life. And if you have a friend, if nothing else, a tool like the book, Widows Wear Stilettos, you'll realize you're not alone. And if you know of someone that's going through a grieving process, and I would say whether it's a man or a woman, she's addressing this primarily towards women, but I really mean it for you guys too. This is something it's important to know that it's okay to grieve. This is not a bad thing, but it's taking charge of your life because you are the one that is living. You have an opportunity to live life with a richness, and you don't have to dump memories. You don't have to forget the beauty of what was had before. And you can make your life richer because of it, if you are willing to give yourself the time to do so. Now, Carol Brody Fleet, you have a website. What is it?
I do. It is widowswearstilettos.com. And on the website, you will find all kinds of support, education, information. There's an interactive message board. You will make thousands of best friends in the blink of an eye. And that's also where my CD, Widows Wear Stilettos, What Now, is available exclusively.
Well, that's fabulous. So if you are interested, if nothing else, mark it so it should, there comes a time that maybe you want to share something with someone. WidowsWearStilettos.com. Carol Brody Fleet has been my guest. Carol, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with me
today.
Thank
you for having me, Donna. It has been delightful.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Don't forget, widowswearstilettos.com. The book is excellent. The website has even more information for you. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, is a show that's all about you, with 500 exhibits, free seminars, free samples, fashion shows, Gilles Marini from this season's Dancing with the Stars, and Dr. Lisa Masterson from the hit show The Doctors, plus shopping with great women's show specials, March 27th through 29th at Questfield Event Center. Show information at nwwomensshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTeb Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories. You'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. I know we've got a caller waiting, so caller, please wait a moment. I'll be right with you. But if you would like to call in and chat, hey, we've got some toll-free telephone numbers you can call in to. 877-876-5227 is one number, and worldwide it's 888-815-9756. So again, those toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, quick like a bunny. For those of you in the Pacific Northwest, ah, yes, that's my stomping ground, I want you to know that the Northwest Women's Show, which is being held in Seattle, and you're hearing the ads during the hour, I'm going to be there in booth number 407, but on Friday, March 27th, the first day of this three-day event, I'm going to be representing my show on the stage for Girl Talk, and I've got 5 dynamic women that are going to be with me. Dr. Carolyn Schultz, we are going to be talking about education, your investment in yourself, and we're going to be talking with Lynn Hamilton, who is an SBA specialist, all about women in business. Then Kathy Virgil Belding, we're going to be talking about how to be well, happy, and sassy at any age. And Holly D. Annuzio, she's the founder of a consulting company. We're going to talk about managing your assets. If you don't think you have any, hey, we're going to show you how you can work with them, and you do. Then Michelle Majors, we're going to be talking about from breakup to wake-up relationships. So we've got a wonderful lineup of women that Friday. It'll start at 11 o'clock, finishing about 4. So come on over to the girl stage. Stop by my booth, 407. Say hello. We're going to have contests, all kinds of wonderful things going on. It's only a week from tomorrow, so don't forget, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, Western Washington, or if you're flying in to attend this event, which thousands and thousands of women come to every year, just remember, stop by and say hello at the Donna Sebo booth, and also come out to the Girl Talk stage on Friday, and of course I'm there Saturday and Sunday, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. Let's go to our first caller today. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My initial is JL, and I'm calling from New York.
Where in New York, dear?
Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn. Okay,
yeah.
I haven't had a chance to visit Brooklyn yet when I've been to New York, but one day I will. All right, JL, the first thing I'm looking at is don't ditch the past. Now, that sounds a little strange, but you have had some experiences that if you could make them invisible and just absolutely ignore them, that would be wonderful. But I want you to not do that. And the reason is that you have got some experiences, and your response and interaction to those experiences are very valuable, and I'd like for you to write about them. And I think it's going to have an impact on some other people, and it's going to make a significant difference in the way that you communicate with people. It's going to give you what I would call an open door. And people are going to go, wow, you mean this was actually a part of your life? And go, gee whiz. And all of a sudden they just open up to you. You are a person that I think has a very high intuitive level, and consequently you are overly sensitive to many situations and conditions. And the only thing that creates a downside to that is that you think you know what other people are thinking sometimes, and you don't. So,
you mean I don't, but then I think I do?
Yes, So the key is that this is on the emotional side.
Mm-hmm.
You are making assumptions about people, and it's like, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to make the assumption. I want you to be feeling safe and okay with letting people respond to you, and I think you're going to find a whole new world of communication. Now, I find this very interesting because communication seems to be a very significant factor of your life. But you're thinking about continuing on with education and schooling, which I think is fabulous. You're very concerned about money and being able to manage it and to make sure that there's a constant flow that's going to be there for you. But I want you to be aware there may be grants and or funding for going on with your education that you have not even considered, you're not even aware of. So I would like for you, as you are evolving through this phase of self-development and growth, very intense learning curve this year and next year, to not be afraid to ask questions. I want you to, if you will, sometimes play the role of a dumb blonde and say, you know, I haven't a clue how to handle this. Could you tell me, please? And then bat your beautiful eyes and let people tell you. Now, that may sound sort of silly, and someone hearing say, Donna, that was a bit much, saying batting the eyes. But sometimes people make assumptions that you should just know something. And for heaven's sake, it doesn't work that way. We all have to learn. And there's no such thing as a dumb question. If you honestly don't know the answer to something, ask the question. And if someone does not know how to assist you, and they're not honest enough to say, gee, I don't know how to assist you, and ask somebody else. You don't need to waste your time with people who are going to play games with your head. That's not what you want. So you need to go ahead, ask your questions, because you have, starting in the year 2012, a very dynamic cycle in your life. If you're willing to invest in yourself these next 2 years, starting in 2012, you are really going to be going like blazes.
You mean like traveling, perhaps?
Well, I'm not so concerned about the traveling as I am about career, income, and feeling stable, feeling safe, like you are really on a roll and you're having the lifestyle that you want.
You mean I'll eventually have the type of life that I want starting in the next few years?
Yes, because of the investment you put in yourself. If you put the investment in yourself,
mm-hmm.
What kind of lifestyle are you looking for?
I am interested in helping people, and I'm very interested in holistic healing. I always read nutrition books.
Mm-hmm.
And anything to do with healing, like I'm really into that.
Well, I'll tell you what. You are in a marvelous environment in New York. You've got so many different people in so many different modalities.
Mm-hmm.
I would say become acquainted with your library, some local bookstores. You know, there's always the big chains. But see if you can find out about some local bookstores that really have an emphasis
mm-hmm.
with the different healing publications, the different modalities that are there. And interact with people that have experience with this. You know, if they have seminars, there often are free seminars, there are opportunities to interact with different people, and see which one seems to call to me the most. And
mm-hmm.
look at that, and then see what classes are available that would give you credit. For example, if you were interested in sound therapy, there might well be an accredited course at a local university, because much of this is infiltrating the sophisticated educational system, because
mm-hmm.
it's being proven to be very valid. So there may be educational opportunities with that, and I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able, if you're willing, to check out different things. That's why it's so important to ask questions.
I actually do have two things going for me. One
Good.
Is I am in school. I'm in a master level program.
What's
and that's
master?
One of my concerns because I recently went for an interview, and I'm not sure if they're going to take me in for the internship.
All right. Now, what is your master's in, dear?
In psychology.
All right. The internship that you are wanting to serve,
mm-hmm.
you need to apply to a number of different venues.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the aspect of psychology, and again, for some reason, sound healing therapies is just making an imprint on my mind.
Sound healing?
Sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
Sound healing. This is done with music. Musical
mm-hmm.
therapy, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you may find that there are other options, that you've applied for this one, and they may or may not take you. I think they've got a number of applications, so they're looking for something specific. Your feeling about it may or may not be correct. I don't think you should make the judgment, though. You leave
mm-hmm.
that in their lap. You need to look at some other options that you can intern with.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that they might not pick me?
No, I think you have just as much an opportunity as anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying to you, dear, is don't make it the big kahuna. Don't say, if I don't get this one, it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look at some other venues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll have an opportunity to serve your internship.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're getting your master's in psychology, that's wonderful, but you need to be able to have something else that you can add to that.
Well, I also do something else. I do this Chinese healing therapy called Guasa, where you kind of hold a stick. I don't know if it's a wooden stick, you call it,
mm-hmm.
and you just scrub it against the body. It's actually called scrubbing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of going into that for the facial.
Well, I think it's good to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different venues, but if you are going to do something like this, you must make sure in the beginning that it has an accredited value.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to look for, something that's accredited. JL, I'm going to have to go, dear. It's time for us to take a break.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome, JL. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and invest in yourself. It'll pay off. This
okay.
is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line. And if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Hey, not only have I got the Northwest Women's Show this month, but I want to let you know on April the 25th, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to be doing a class in Tacoma, and I'll be passing out information at the show. But if you'd like to get more information about the class on April 25th, Mind Vision is its title. We're going to be talking more about it in April, but I do want you to know about that. Give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, and I'll be glad to give you the details. It's going to be a dynamic, interactive class. I did one like this last year, and it was just wonderful. I just so enjoyed everybody that attended, and we just had a great, great time, and it includes lunch. So more information will be coming up about that. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, I'm first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Lisa from Phoenix.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
All right. You are in Phoenix, where I hope the sun is shining for you right now instead of raining.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Lisa, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is paperwork. It's like I see a cartoon where you have paperwork stacked up to underneath your nose, and your nose is at the top of it. Your eyes look droopy, and you're saying, I'm so sick of paperwork. I wish I could just put it in the shredder and just evaporate it away. Well, the paperwork is still going to have to be done. I don't know if this is relative to taxes or what, but I do think that it is important for you to be able to do what you need to do and get it done in a timely manner. And it is going to mean concentration. It will mean perhaps you just lock yourself away for 2 or 3 days so that you can get everything caught up the way it needs to be. But trust me, the paperwork will always come back. It's just the nature of the game. What I'm looking at for you also is it looks like you're going to be packing and taking a short trip, an excursion that might be 3 or 4 days. There seems to be something associated with this excursion that might involve a conference, a class, or a meeting of some kind. And this is going to be very meaningful to you because you're going to feel like you have put everything together in a neat little package that's going to be cost-effective, and you're really looking forward to the break, but also to being able to add to your own repertoire of what you have for yourself. So there's a lot going on. There is a tremendous amount of input and change that's coming into your life. But it's not coming in really, really fast until after the 18th of June. So if you feel like things are sort of moving along at a snail's pace, that's okay. It'll pass. But really pay attention to the paperwork because it must be finished. It must be done. What would you like to ask me today?
Is that paperwork having to do with taxes or grants? I've got a couple of grants I'm writing.
I honestly don't know. All I know is that there is so much to be done here, you don't want to procrastinate on it. So whether it's taxes, grants, whatever, just lock yourself away so that you get it done sooner rather than later. Whatever it is, it's just very tedious, it's very monotonous, and you have to be very thorough.
Okay. Well, I am trying to write a couple of grants. Do you see that coming in successfully?
It looks like one of the applications will. I don't know that both of them will.
Okay.
But they both require the same amount of effort.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful day and good luck on the grant.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. Okay, I know we've only got a couple of minutes to go. I want to share something with you about baseball. Yes, baseball, America's favorite pastime. Or, as it has been known historically, as one of America's favorite pastimes. There are so many unique facts and points of history regarding baseball, one of which I came across, which really surprised me. For you avid lovers of baseball, you're automatically going to know about Ty Cobb. He was such an awesome player. I had no idea that this man, to stay in shape, walked up to 30 miles a day during the off season with lead in his shoes so that he maintained his lower body strength. And it doesn't say how much lead he put in those shoes, but my gracious, you think of his time frame and the type of shoes that they had, it's just absolutely amazing. Now, in 1968, San Francisco Giants manager Alvin Dark told reporters that NASA would put a man on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run. And on July 20th, 1969, Perry connected for his first ever home run 20 minutes after Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Isn't that fabulous synchronicity? I love it. And then Toledo, Ohio's professional baseball team was known as the Mud Hens as early as 1896, and remain the only professional sports franchise in America with a feminine name. Isn't that amazing? All these little pieces of trivia. And who would ever suspect that someone could be stabbed to death by a baseball? Well, Stanton Walker attended a ball game and was seated behind between two friends when one attempted to pass an open pocket knife to the other. Just as the knife passed in front of Mr. Walker, it was struck. The knife was struck by a foul ball and driven into his heart. Boy, the things that happen at baseball games. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We've got a wonderful guest tomorrow, Betty Tisdale, who will be a demonstration of how one woman can make a difference. And you can, too. Won't you listen in tomorrow? It's Betty Tisdale. We're going to be finding out about this phenomenal woman and what she does every year when she goes to Vietnam and visits orphanages. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be right here at bbsradio.com, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.